Ooh, we got the exciting stories for you today, y'all. The marijuana here in Massachusetts, it's so close for you guys to find a store near you. We talk about the new Apple Watch. You know holiday season's coming up soon. And last but not least, we talk about a story, a commercial that Johnson & Johnson put up that made me tear up like no other. Oh my God. Welcome back, you guys. Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Swadek Mayanja, but you guys can call me Q. And yes, I am Q the Nurse, and on this channel, I bring you news, current events, and fun topics for nurses everywhere, every single Friday. So let's just jump right on into these stories because I'm excited. Starting off with the marijuana. If you don't know anything about what's going on with the legalization here in Massachusetts, it became legal this past summer. And July 1st was when recreational use of marijuana was legal in the state of Massachusetts. But then if you are a weed user, if you take a few puffs here and there on occasion, you might say, Q, since it's legal, I haven't seen any stores. There's no promotion. Where in the world can I go to a store and buy some weed off the counter? Can I go to CVS? Can I go to No, sir. But the news is coming. It's near us. It is so very close. For those who use it, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. So the state's top marijuana. The state's top marijuana regulator says final inspections of prospective marijuana businesses have begun, but the question remains, when am I going to be able to go down the street and pick up the kind of weed, the strain that I like, the smell that I like, and the feel that I like? When can we get to that point? So final inspections are happening as we speak. Listen closely, because there might be a store near you that you need to figure out. So, could the commission approve provisional retail licenses on Thursday for proposed stores in Ayr, in Hudson, Mass., in Pittsfield, and in Salisbury? I'm actually surprised that all of these retails that are getting the licenses first are Western Mass, and they're not as close to the city. I would think that the first 10 that open up that get their licenses would be in the city, but maybe they're growing their own weed. Maybe it's much easier to do it out west than in the city. You need it to be imported, and that takes a whole lot more licenses. And who knows? I don't know. I don't care. But the fact of the matter is, it's soon. So this past Thursday, yesterday, September 20th, is when provisional licenses were handed out. Join me next Friday, and maybe we'll figure out if the store's open or not. But until then, you just gotta wait, y'all. Gotta wait. Moving on. So it's a doom and gloom type of story, but the reason we talk about it is so we can prevent this doom and gloom from coming to fruition. And the concern I have with Alzheimer's is that the cases of Alzheimer's will triple by 2060. That is huge. For all you nurses out there that take care of patients that have dementia, you know, I know, we all know that taking care of someone that has dementia is not a single person's nurse's job. It's not just a care team's job. It's not just the family. It is everybody. It takes a lot to take care of someone with Alzheimer's, especially towards the end stages of Alzheimer's. It's a horrible disease. We don't have a cure for it, and the numbers are just going to go higher and higher and higher, and they are going to affect specific populations worse than others. So right now, there's about 5 million people in America that have Alzheimer's, which is about 1.5% of the population, right? That's a lot. 5 million is a goddamn lot of people. But I said triple. But by 2060, that number will hit nearly 14 million, which will be about 3.3% of the population. That is huge. That is huge, right? That is an insane amount of people. And yes, that is a drastic increase. And it's not so much that that it's, oh my goodness, more people are getting Alzheimer's. It's not that. It's that we're getting, there's just a lot more people in America, and the population continues to grow. And if you just projections, the numbers will continue to grow. The U.S. population of persons aged 65 years and above is expected to double from 46.5 million in 2014 to 83.7 million by 2060. So I did tell you at the beginning of the segment that more people were going to have Alzheimer's, and it's going to affect specific populations harder. So African Americans have the highest percentage of Alzheimer's by the population, with 13.8% of blacks aged 65 or older who are affected. More than 12% of Hispanics have Alzheimer's, and 10% of whites that are over the age of 65 and older. And the reason I bring this up, is not to just throw shade out there and put the negativity out there and have you scared and, you know, write your will so you kill, you get euthanized at the age of 65. No, I'm not trying to scare you. Right? It's a PSA. It's a public service announcement. I'm just here to let you know what the projections say and what you can do now to make that future a little bit better for yourself and for your family and for the whole of the US of A. So it's not as scary when it actually happens, if it actually happens. Because if you're a nurse, if you work in healthcare, you know that there is no cure for Alzheimer's. There is no treatment for Alzheimer's. The best we can do right now, the best we can do is take meds and help slow the progression. That's all we can do right now. There is no cure. There is no treatment. There is no reversal. Right now, it is live as healthy as you can, take medication so we can stop the progression. And the reason I'm going to end it on this. The best way to treat or slow the progression of your Alzheimer's is to get checked, to get your yearly physical. If you have any questions, if you have a family member that is forgetful, that has changed, their mental status is a little off, any reason you might think that Alzheimer's or any mental disorder is happening, do not brush it off as, oh, that's just, you know, mom, she just turned 65. Grandma just turned 72. Go get checked it out. The sooner you check it out, the better they can jump on it and slow that progression. And that's what we want. That's the entire reason I went through this whole rant. Yes, 2060, there's going to be a whole lot more people with Alzheimer's. But if you continue to get checked up, if you continue, and with the technology and the amount of research that's going into this, hopefully by then, knock on wood, and I'm not just telling you, I'm saying it to you and reminding the world, and myself included, because in 2060 will be the year I turn 65. And like I told you, blacks are the highest percentage of people 65 and older that have Alzheimer's. This is for all of us, myself included. So just letting y'all know, for a better future, go get your checkup. If you know anyone, if you have any concerns with anyone that's close to you, that's in your family, please tell them to go get checked out, because it's important. And Alzheimer's, we don't have a treatment, we don't have a cure. All right, for moving on. And again, nurse.org, always with these fantastic blog posts, and I love them for it. And I'm here to, and I love putting, shining some more light on these blog posts that are getting a little bit of attention, right? So, four reasons why nurses need mental health days. And I talk about this all the time. I don't want to brag, but I was once the Healthy Nurse, Healthy Nation person of the month, right? And it was super exciting. And my portion of it was the mental health side of it. And they called me the Healthy Nurse, Healthy Nation person of the month because I do these videos, because this is my outlet. This is how I vent and scream. This is how I release my stress when I'm not in the hospital. And it's so important for us nurses to have that, to have a way to release the stress, because I know that I'm in a super lucky position where I'm young and I'm single and I'm a new nurse, and I have the time to do this. I don't have kids. I don't have other responsibilities outside of work, right? So I feel like I'm a super lucky position, and not everyone has that. So that's why I've decided that it's important that the world knows that nurses need their days off. Nurses need a mental day off. And when I say a day off from work, I don't mean you schedule a day off and you have to go and do your errands and take care of the kids. No, I mean an actual day off. And that's the reason I am doing this story. So according to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Interdisciplinary Nursing Quality Research Initiative, INQRI, nurses experience clinical depression at twice the rate the general public do. Depression affects 9% of everyday citizens, but 18% of nurses experience symptoms of depression, which is insanity. That's nearly 20%. So if you work on a unit with five nurses, know that one of the five of you have symptoms of depression. which is insane to think about, right? Because these are the nurses that are taking care of the patients. These are the nurses that are taking care of the public, you, me, and everybody else. And I only say that because if someone, a depressed nurse, may find it more difficult to concentrate, communicate, manage time, and critically think, all of these factors are determinants to mental health. They can cause a delay in patient care, medication errors, lapses in nursing judgment, and so on and so forth. So we all know this, right? When you're at work, and the thing is, being a nurse, when you are at work, you do feel this constant stress, this constant pressure, this constant level of anxiety. Yes, it's the name of the game, but we need to do things in our power to take care of ourselves. So when we do go to work, right, because we know when you go to work, you're taking care of sick patients. It's not going to be lollygagging, jump rope, and high-fiving, right? It's a stressful situation. Hospitals aren't just a fun and games. It's serious, it's stressful, and that's the name of the game. So we knew that going in. But there are things that us nurses can do to better take care of ourselves a little bit better, so our mental health is at peak condition, so when we do go into work, we can be that positive light for our patients. We can give 100% to our patients instead of, you know, giving only half because the other 50% of us is stressed and concerned and filled with anxiety, okay? So the four reasons I want to go down there. So let's talk about these four reasons as to why it is important you take, why is it important that you take a mental health day, a break from work, a break from your stresses of life. Four major reasons. So number one, distraction. So like I just said, when you're at work, you want to be able to give 100% of yourself to the patients, to what you're doing, to your profession, right? You want to be able to do that. If you cannot do that, the times you can't do that is because you're thinking of something else, because you're stressed out about your car issues, you're stressed out about your kid that failed the test, you're stressed out about your hubby, your work friends, the plans that you never get to do because you work every other weekend, right? So when you are distracted, it is hard to give 100% of yourself, and that is super important. Number two, another reason why you should take a mental health day is that you neglect you time. Right? When you're a nurse, and I hear this all the time, my God, Q, you only work 3 days a week. What are you talking about? You time. You got the whole week to do you time. But no, it's not like that. When you do work 3 days a week, and it is 36 hours, and ends up being more like 40, 42 hours if you stay late, leave early, all that good stuff. 40 hours is 36 hours. We all work the same amount of hours each week, right? You might do it throughout 4 days, 5 days. We do it in three. So when we do go to work, the days we do go to work, it is entirely that work day. It's not, let's meet up for a bite after work. It's not, I'm going to go to the gym before. No, yes, you can't do those things if you wake up at 4 a.m. You can't do those things if you want to go out at 8:30, 9 p.m. and have a drink after a full 12-hour shift. Those are the choices you can make as a nurse. But understand, when you, as a non-nurse, tell a nurse you only work 3 days a week, those 3 days I do work, we do work, are entirely nursing. And then we have to do everything you get to do before and or after work on the days we have off, all right? And because we have those 3 days and we want to take care of everything else on our days off, we neglect our me time, you time. You neglect self-care time. Right, so take a mental day off and write it on the schedule and circle that day and say, I don't want stressors. I'm gonna take this day for me, which leads directly into reason number three. And the reason number three is appointments. And you say, Q, what do you mean by appointments? Are you telling me to go into work on my days that I have off that I'm supposed to be taking a mental health day? No, we want to do exactly what we tell our patients to do. To set up a day to just have, I'm going to have this day off, I'm going to put in some earned time. Yes, it's nice to do that, but that day you might put in earned time for a wedding that you have to go to. You earn time for a birthday party, for an appointment for something else. You want to actually write down, set up an appointment with a therapist, set up an appointment to get a spa day, set up, get your nails done, and write it on your schedule because you do need that time. So you don't want to neglect your you time, but when you do have your days off, things pop up. People need rides. People want plans with you and they find out you're not at work. Say, no, I've already planned this day for me and me alone, so I'm going to do my thing to relieve the stress in the brains, right? And then last but not least, mental health just is one-to-one with physical health, right? And I love this quote that the World Health Organization states, there is no health without mental health, right? So we love, even in the healthcare field, being a nurse, 90% of the time we're talking, let's make sure that your blood pressure is right. Let's make sure that your sugars are right. Let's make sure that we fix the heart condition, your diabetes, your back pain, whatever. The physical is what we talk about 99% of the time. And of course, as if when we forget to mention it to our patients, the mental health, a portion of everything, we definitely forget to take care of our own mental health. And so once again, the four reasons you want to take a mental health day on is, number one, if you don't, you're going to be distracted. You're going to not be able to give the patients 100% of yourself, right? You want to be able to be the best nurse when you are being a nurse. Number two, if you don't take a mental health day, it's too easy for you to neglect you time. Number three, you need to set up those appointments when you do have you time to make sure those days that you set up and those days that you take off, those mental health days you take off, you use them to take care of your mental health. And then last but not least, once you take care of your mental health, your physical health comes right with it, right? Good mental health means good physical health. And that's what we tell our patients, so we should do the same, right? And Nurse of the Week. Moving on to Nurse of the Week, my favorite segment of the week every single week. And I do want to first preface this Nurse of the Week with an apology to all of my brothers and sisters that are nursing assistants out there. I have this platform and I always talk about how I want to acknowledge the amazing things nurses do. And yes, I don't think nurses get the acknowledgement that they need, but if I'm gonna tell you something, if I'm gonna say something, nursing assistants, medical assistants, nursing aides, whatever you call them, health aides, whatever you call them, they get zero spotlight. They get zero love. Us nurses, we don't get enough love, but the nursing assistants and all of that entire segment of people that are there to help nurses do their work get zero love. And I am here to shine a little bit of love on one of these nursing assistants. She today gets Nurse of the Week. And sadly, it's not for the greatest story, but I am rooting for her. So let me tell you. So before getting fired, this Nurse of the Week, she got fired. And yes, she still is the Nurse of the Week. Before she got fired, this transgender nursing aide was told that she would go to hell. Yes. Scary situation. Let me tell you what happened and then we'll talk about it, all right? So a nursing assistant anonymously describes 5 months of shame allegedly conducted by coworkers and superiors at the Gardens for Memory Care in Easton, Pennsylvania. So she did put in file a lawsuit against them after she was let go. So let me tell you what happened during this time when she worked. And it was just 5 months and she couldn't take it. Because she reported all of this stuff, and they still said, deuces, no thank you, we want nothing to do with you. And now she's filing a lawsuit, and I'm all for her, because, god damn it, why wouldn't you be, right? So let me tell you what happened. So, and I'll tell you one of the most egregious thing that she put into the lawsuit was that the former healthcare employee claims she was intentionally slandered by staffers as he, and at one point overheard one coworker gossiping that unless she sought absolution, she would go to hell. So damn, right? That's a coworker. We just did this thing with nurse.org, which is still going on. So please, in the description box below, nurses support their young. Stop the bullying in the nurse workforce. We did that entire campaign and it's still running. So please, please, please sign the pledge. But that is an exact example of things we don't want happening at our place of work, where we go to work, right? You want At the very least, if you don't like a coworker, take that to management, take that to HR, and explain and express yourself. But to gossip and talk this kind of shit and say one of your coworkers is going to hell, it's a scary thing and it's a hateful thing. And to that nurse or those nurses out there that is gossiping and talking shit about their coworkers, first of all, you're an asshole. Second of all, if you are going to talk shit, keep that same energy when you're being put on the spot. Make sure you have that same energy when that nurse confronts you, when that nurse takes it to HR, when that nurse takes it to the management, all right? Please and thank you. So you might say, Q, outside of that one nurse being a douchebag and saying that she's going to hell, why should we, what if the other nurses just did it by accident because she didn't do the full transition? I hear you. Sure, I get it. Kind of, but not really. I think it's all about intention, right? And she's filing a lawsuit. There's no way in hell that she's going to file a lawsuit because a couple of nurses or a couple of her coworkers accidentally called her a he, right? I just don't see that happening. But if it did happen, they go into the justice system and they will prove it in court. Outside of that, what I think actually happened, I'm going to actually tell you what is in the lawsuit. And she alleges that the charge nurse would constantly use male pronouns for her. And you might say, okay, you know, toughen up. But it's not only that. On top of that, on the assignment sheet that they would make every morning or every time she would come into work, instead of writing the name she wants people to call her, right? I go by Q at work, so instead of people writing Q, they would write like Z or some shit. But in her case, it wasn't just a nickname that they were putting male names on her assignment of the day. She would cross it out. She would write the name she wanted. And I keep saying she and he and all this stuff and not her name. It's because she requested when she filed the lawsuit to keep her actual name out. So they're calling her Jane Doe in the lawsuit because she doesn't want it to be public. Because you know and I know that people in the LGBTQ community do commit suicide at a higher rate than the rest of the population. And it's scary. So she does not want people outside and people, the general public to know who she is so they can start sending her hate mail. And that kind of shit happens all the time. So yeah, so the charge nurse was writing he instead of she. The charge nurse would change the names on the assignment sheet. Then you heard about the coworker that said she would go to hell if she doesn't pray. So she did the right thing. She didn't just quit, walk out, scream, stomp a fit. No, she did the exact things that we were taught to do. She went to HR. She never heard back. She never heard anything back from HR. After waiting weeks, months, whatever length of time she waited, she went to the director of nursing, right? She told her story. She told her side. She left. She came back. The next day she was on. During her lunch break, when she was returning from her lunch break, the director of nursing told her to hand over her keys and hand over her badge, and she was let go. No notice, no meeting, no nothing. Just, you're gone. We don't want anything to do with you. And this is after she had done absolutely nothing wrong except for complain, report the abuse and the bullying that was happening at work. I think it's actually insane. The reason she gets Nurse of the Week is because she's a fighter. She's brave. She's going through this entire transition. And we all know we can't pretend that it's easy to be transgender in America in 2018. She is, right? And on top of that, she was fired for it. She was bullied for it. She was abused for it. So to all the employees at the Garden Memory Care in Eastern Pennsylvania, I'm not judging all of you, but to those who were bullying Jane Doe, the Nurse of the Week, you guys are assholes. And I really hope that the justice system goes after you guys. So for the final story of the day, we get to talk about the Apple Watch. Oh, and I am excited about this, ladies and gentlemen. I just actually switched over to Samsung, so I'm not going to get it. But I love this technology because I feel like this is just the door opening, just a creak, just a crack, just so we can see what technology can do in healthcare in the future. I think it's a beautiful thing. So why am I excited and why am I talking about the Apple Watch and the nursing news? Is because this new Apple Watch can do something crazy for your health. It can take an EKG. That is amazing to me. So for those regular folk out there and for those nurses that don't remember what an EKG is, let me explain to you. An EKG is just it's a diagnostic test that measures the electrical activity that's going on in your heart, because that's how your heart works. You know, electrical activity makes it squeeze the atria and then the ventricles. And that's how your heart communicates with itself so it beats correctly, right? And when you take an EKG of someone, you get to see that electrical activity on the paper, and then they'll decide, is it normal? Is it abnormal? Is it too fast? Is it too slow? The whole nine, right? And after an EKG, and like I just said, you can check if it's normal. You can diagnose. You can say someone has AFib. You can say someone has AFib, which is just an irregular heartbeat, right? Or you can tell if someone's heartbeat is going too fast or too slow. And that's what you would use an EKG for. And so for those who've never seen it, you'll see, I'll put up a picture of a regular EKG that you might find in some hospitals. And that is, it's a humongous thing. And it's just meant for one thing, to take an EKG. And to put that machine in an Apple Watch that is used mainly for 1,000 other things, and it also does an EKG, I think is fantastical. But don't get too excited, because at every hospital you go to, The main EKG you use is a 12-lead EKG, right? So they put these stickers on. It's just called a 12-lead EKG because it has 12 leads and it sticks on 12 different parts of your body. And so they can get they can see the electric activity of the entire heart, so they don't miss anything, right? The Apple Watch is basically a 1-lead EKG, and you might ask a simple question as, is it useful to have a 1-lead EKG when you guys use a 12? Yes, it is. It's very, very, very helpful to have a 1-lead EKG, and you can't see abnormal activities going on with the heart with any lead EKG. It does the same exact thing as a 12-lead EKG with just less detail. So if a healthcare professional were to look at an EKG was 1-lead versus 12 leads, if they know what they're looking for, they'll be able to find it, right? They're not going to use an Apple Watch's EKG to diagnose things, but it's helpful to have. So if you do check your, do use the app to check your EKG and it looks funky and the Apple Watch says that this is abnormal, it will tell you, go get checked at the hospital. And I'm all about prevention because I think prevention is the best medication. It's the best treatment. It's the best of all everything, right? So if an Apple Watch is telling you, you might want to go check out go to the doctors versus you passing out because your heart stopped or it skipped a beat, that is so much better, right? It is so much better to go to the hospital and say, my watch is telling me that my heart's not functioning right. Can we do something about it? Versus you passing out, getting CPR, then going to the hospital, right? Well, that's what we all want. That's what we all want. So what we know right now is the Apple Watch, the ECG app can give you two heart rhythms, normal and AFib. The Apple Watch isn't going to be able to tell the difference between junctional rhythm and all the different arrhythmias. It's not going to be able to tell you what kind of heart block you have. It's not there. Like I said, it's 1-lead versus the 12 leads we use at the hospital, but it's something. And if it's not AFib and it's not normal, it will say on your watch, it is not normal, but it's not AFib, go to the hospital. And I think that's as much as the information that you want into the public's hands so they can come in and say, this is what the Apple Watch is saying. I am concerned. Should I be concerned? Do we need to do anything? I love it. I love it. I love it.
Thank you guys again for listening. I really do appreciate it. If you enjoyed any bit of it, it would mean the world to me if you would rate the podcast and subscribe to it. And if you are listening to this on Anchor, per usual, please leave a message on any of the stories. I love you for it. I appreciate it. And I'll catch you on Sunday for the Everyday Hero Show. Woot woot. Exciting stuff coming your way, y'all. Exciting stuff coming your way.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.